This is the April edition of Ask, Science and Exploration for Curious Kids. I'm Chris, radio volunteer Ron Pariser. The front cover of the magazine features a dancer in a colorful outfit. And the title is Join the Dance. Page 2, Nosy News by Nosy Newsies. Dress code solved. In 2013, an archaeologist on holiday bought an old brown silk dress in an antique store. When she got it home, she discovered a paper in a hidden pocket covered in odd words. Bismarck, omit. Leafage, buck, bank. Spring, wilderness, lining. What could it mean? Was it a code? She posted the note on code-breaking sites, but for 10 years, no one cracked it, until one clever coder had an idea. Maybe it was a telegraph code. In the 1860s, when the dress was made, telegraphs charged by the word to send messages. To save money, companies had books of single words that stood for common phrases, such as blue to mean the box arrives Tuesday. Librarians finally found a code book from the National Weather Service that matched. The message was weather reports. Bismarck, omit, leafage, buck, bank meant Bismarck, North Dakota, May 27, 1888, 56 degrees, dew point 32, clear sky, winds 12 miles per hour. Watson said, I'll bet it's top secret forecasts of the acorn harvest. There is a photograph of the dress and the code. The caption reads, The dress and its code. We don't know who owned the dress, but we can guess she was a weather watcher. Raccoon sweeps Nobel Prizes. In a surprise announcement, the Nobel Committee has awarded the 2024 Prize in Physics, Chemistry, Medicine, Literature, Peace, and Pranks to Marvin the Raccoon. We are not even going to wait for the rest of 2024, gushed the committee chair. He is just so amazing. He deserves them all. He even writes his own news stories. We're so impressed. Page 3. Neptune Blues. If you look at a poster of our solar system, Uranus is often shown as a pale blue and Neptune dark blue. But astronomers have always known that both planets are a pale greeny blue. Neptune is a bit darker, but it isn't deep blue, so why is it shown that color? The mix-up started with some early news pictures from the Voyager 2 spacecraft. NASA photo labs had artificially darkened Neptune's color to make the bright and dark spots in its atmosphere easier to see. The dark blue stuck because it helped make Neptune look different from Uranus. But new telescope images confirm Neptune's true colors. In the photograph, the caption reads, These images were snapped by the Voyager 2 spacecraft as it flew by Uranus in 1986 and Neptune in 1989. The top image of Neptune was later darkened to show the picture's bands and spots better. The bottom photo shows its true colors. Upside-down fish. Anglerfish are deep-sea fishes with a sneaky trick. They dangle a long spine with a glowing lure to attract prey, like a built-in fishing rod. When a curious fish comes to check it out, snap! There are many species of anglerfish in a range of shapes and sizes. Now, new video captured by a robotic submarine near Japan reveals that some large anglerfish have a surprising fishing style. Instead of dangling their lure in front, these anglerfish hang their long lures below them while swimming upside down. Scientists think the fish evolved this behavior because it allows the fish to dangle a lure closer to the seafloor with less effort. A longer lure also makes it easier for the fish to sneak up on prey. There's a photograph labeled, a robotic submarine spotted the unusual fishing style of some deep-sea anglerfish. And Elvis says, while lying upside down, "The world sure looks different this way." I'm going to skip Nestor's dock and turn to page 6. Dances with Animals by Ellen R. Braff, art by Amanda Shepherd. Plush Potum says in her little dance outfit, "And a one, and a two, and..." There's a photograph on page 6 labeled, "An Asian red-crowned crane courtship dance can go on for days. The cranes walk, flap wings, bob heads, jump, spin, and fly in formation. What steps they do is less important than finding a good rhythm together." In a snowy field in northern Japan, two big black and white birds face each other and raise their wings. Slowly, they circle each other, bob their heads, and clack their beaks as if they're having a conversation. And in a way, they are. Unlike humans, animals don't have words to help them communicate. They can't say, "Hey, look what I found," or "This is my spot," or "Do you like me?" Yet animals communicate all the time. They send messages with smells and sounds, and sometimes by dancing. Animals dance to share information, to defend territories, and to attract mates. Nature designs their steps, and they dance as if their lives depended on it. Often it does. There are several photographs showing this behavior with dancing and flapping and flying. One caption of a illustration reads, "Simon says, look up and honk." Page 8. Bees' Knees. In dark beehives, honeycomb walls become waxy dance floors. Like a rock star swarmed by adoring fans, a bee returning from the apple orchard begins her dance. Other workers follow her as she moves forward in a straight line. She vibrates her wings and wags her body side to side very quickly, 13 to 15 times a second. Then she turns to one side, circles back, and begins the waggle run again. When she finishes, she circles around, this time in the opposite direction, and repeats her steps. This dance may go on for hours. As she traces a figure eight on the dance floor, the follower bees touch her with their antennae. They sense the odors of apple blossom and pollen clinging to her body. These workers also detect the scent she used to mark the distant flowers. But where are the flowers? A flight plan is coded in her movements. The length of the waggle run tells workers how far the flowers are from the hive. Its angle tells them how to get there. Because bees steer by the sun, the dancer lines up her dance with the sun in the sky. The waggling bee even adjusts her dance to account for the sun's movement as time passes. Even if the waggle dance lasts for hours, bees leaving the hive can use it to find their targets. Zia says, "Tell me where the flowers are." How to do the waggle dance. This is an illustration. 1. Waggle backside. Flash wings. Try to remember where that flower was. Dance in a line pointing towards your flower. Lots of steps if it's far away. Few if it's near. 2. Circle back right and waggle forward again. 3. Circle back left, forward again, then back right. 4. Dance around and around in a figure eight. Repeat until dizzy. In the photograph, the caption reads, "The bee in the center is dancing in a pattern that tells her sisters how to get to a patch of flowers. Other bees crowd around to watch." Keep away. Not all animals cooperate the way honeybees do. Instead, they compete for food, territory, and mates. How do they decide who gets the girl or the best spot? Fighting is one option, but fights are risky and exhausting. So, some animals have a dance-off instead. They pose and prance to make themselves look larger, stronger, and quicker than their rivals. They dance to show off and say, "Don't mess with me." They hope to settle who's boss without risking injury or death. Marvin says, "My goofy dance keeps the plush away." Red fish, blue fish. Betas, also called Siamese fighting fish, are little fish with a big mean streak. Brightly colored betas in pet stores have been specifically bred for their beautiful veil-like fins. In the wild, they live in rice paddies in Southeast Asia, and like many fish, they are territorial. Each beta claims a spot and chases away intruders. Many species of fish settle conflicts over space with a simple chase or nip, but if a male beta spots an intruder, the two have a dance fight. The two fish circle each other face to face, then side to side. They flare out flaps of skin on their necks and extend their fins to look big. Side to side, they flicker their fins and beat the water with their tails. Tail beating gets faster and faster until one male backs down. The loser lowers his fins, and his bright body color fades away to a dull hue. Defeated, he swims away. "Okay, you win," Puck says to Sisyphus. In the photograph, showy male beta fish circle each other in a dance to see who's the baddest on the block. How to do the fighting fish fandango. 1. Face your partner, pump up your colors, puff out your gill covers, and look tough. 2. Get side by side. Flick your fins, beat the water with your tail. Faster, faster. 3. Who's the baddest? If it's not you, lower your fins and fade to brown. Better dancing next time. Page 10, at the top. The photograph reads, Meerkat War Dance. Meerkats are long-tailed mongoose cousins that live around the Kalahari Desert in Africa. Meerkats are territorial, and when two groups meet, they sometimes fight. But before the fight, they do a war dance. They jump and step back and forth together, with tails high and fur bushed out. They try to make their band look as big and powerful as possible in hopes that the other group will leave. Lizard lingo. Lizards sport a wide variety of odd body parts. Scaly crests, spines, knobs, horns, and fleshy dewlaps, flaps of skin under their necks that can flare out like fans. When males compete for territory or challenge each other to see who was the best, these weird ornaments come in handy. Green anoles are small lizards found in the southeastern United States. They cling to rocks, trees, walls, and screens. At times, it looks as if they're listening to music on invisible headsets. Their bodies groove to the beat. Their heads bob as their legs push up and down. When two male anoles meet, they really get going. To appear bigger and scarier, they raise a scaly crest along their backs and develop dark spots behind their eye sockets. They turn to the side to present the broadest part of their bodies to each other. The dance ends when one backs down. The loser bobs his head slowly, as if to say, "You win," then moves away. Elvis says to Bot, "Boo!" On tropical trees, anole lizards get down doing head bobs and push-ups to show who's best. Bone Pony says, "Do the doo-lap doo-wop." Chance for romance. During mating season, males of many species do dances to attract females. Their dance moves say, "Look, I'm strong and can find lots of food. I'm clever enough to learn this dance. I'll be a great mate. Pick me." For the females, choosing a good partner is important. A strong, clever mate means that your offspring will be more likely to survive. Once animals find a mate, dancing together can also help them become better partners. Marvin is chasing Plush Potum with some snakes. "And now I present you with these lovely snakes." In the photograph, These two great crested grebes are exchanging weeds as part of their togetherness dance. Water ballet. Birds perform some of the most complex mating dances. Cranes can dance for hours in elaborate routines of head bobbing, high stepping, and flying in formation. For great crested grebes, it's a water ballet. Facing each other, they shake their heads and bend their long, slender necks. They fly together, just skimming the surface of their lake, dive into the water, then rise at the same time, with weeds in their beaks. Then they shake their heads, showing off the ruffs and tufts of feathers that adorn them. They tread water and dance with weeds dangling from their beaks. Sometimes they'll fling aside their grassy gifts and start again. This togetherness dance helps them bond. In the photograph at the bottom left, baby grebe chicks get rides until they grow waterproof feathers. Plushpottom says, "Someday my grebe will come." In the photograph at the bottom right, male peacock spiders put on elaborate tap shows to win mates. The female spiders tend to choose males with the most complicated moves, not the biggest or strongest. Dance party. Some birds perform their courtship dances all together at gatherings called leks. The males put up with the competition because leks attract lots of females, far more than a single male could. Females flock to the leks to see potential mates strut their stuff. Some take their time choosing and come back several days in a row. Sage grouse are large, chicken-like birds of the American plains. In spring, they gather in clearings in the sagebrush about the size of football fields to attract females. Males flare out their long pointy tail feathers to form a speckled fan. They puff out their chests and inflate special air sacs in their necks until it looks like they've swallowed a balloon. Then the puffed up males parade around making soft drumming and popping noises. These dances may go on long into the night if there's enough moonlight. In the photograph at the top of page 12, female sage grouse look over the males at a lek, a sage grouse dance party. Elvis says, "Of course, we all know who the most beautiful bird is." At the bottom of page 12, there are three more photographs. Male sage grouse fan out their tail feathers and puff out air sacs in their chests to make themselves look big, ready to dance. In New Guinea, a bird of paradise clears a patch of ground for a stage. Then it's showtime. Ratsputin says, "Encore!" The show-off. Some birds dance alone on smaller stages. More than 40 different kinds of birds of paradise live on the island of New Guinea. Each species has its own complicated dance moves and special dance feathers to match. The male western parocha bird of paradise does an energetic dance to impress any watching females. First, he cleans a small patch of ground for a stage. Then, he fluffs out a fancy ruff of neck feathers, bobs his head madly, and hops back and forth. In a final showy move, he shakes his six plumes. If his dance has impressed one of the watching females, it may mean the beginning of a new romance. Say it with dance. Many animals move in special ways to impress mates or intimidate rivals, but no other animal dances quite like humans do, just for the love of dancing. No other animal talks like we do either, and these two things may be related. Scientists have discovered that dancing and language engage the brain in similar ways. Both depend on good timing, imitation, and getting things in the right order. Both are also good ways to make friends. So maybe dancing was our first language. It's still the most fun. How to do the bird of paradise bop. First, tidy up your dance floor. No twigs or leaves allowed. 1. Fluff up your amazing feather tutu until you are as big as a plate. 2. Shake your head and show off those plumes. Yes, I am the 6-plumed bird of paradise. 3. Keep shaking your head. Hop 6 steps left, 6 steps right. Left again, right again. Eyes on the audience at all times so they don't sneak away. 4. To finish, pump your head as fast as you can. Yes, yes, I am the man. Flash the green chest feathers. 1 last big jump left and right. The crowd goes wild. Zia says, I think I'm getting it. At the bottom of page 13 is a photograph. Dancing is a universal human activity. Everyone does it, all over the world. We hear a beat and our feet start tapping. On pages 14 and 15, 3 dances every kid should know. You can do these exercises with your parent, teacher, or guardian and friends. Page 16. How do they do that? By Charlene Brusso, art by Jimmy Holder. Dancers and athletes do some amazing things. Take a closer look to uncover the secrets behind balancing, spinning, and flipping. How does a ballet dancer balance delicately on the very tips of her toes without falling over? How do ice skaters and break dancers spin faster and then slower and then faster again without any extra push? Why does a gymnast swing his arms high before jumping up into a flip? It may look like magic, but their balance, spins, and flips use the same basic forces that make a seesaw balance, speed up a tetherball, and turn a pancake tossed into the air. To stay balanced, a dancer must hold her body very precisely to make sure her center of gravity is always directly above where her toe meets the floor. The smaller this supporting point is, the more difficult it is to balance. That's why balancing on your toes is much more difficult and more spectacular than balancing on flat feet. To get a seesaw to balance, as shown in the illustration, the weight gravity pulling on mass has to be equal on each side. This depends on both the size of the person and how far they are from the middle. A bigger kid has to sit closer in. Your body has a balancing point too, called your center of gravity. How do you know you're balanced? Inside your inner ear, 3 little fluid-filled tubes act like a carpenter's level to tell your brain when you're tipping. In the illustration, the ballet dancer is balancing on one toe, and Rasputin says, this is harder than it looks. You try it. Lift one leg off the floor. You immediately lean a little bit, or you might want to stick out your arm. You are shifting your body to keep your center of gravity directly over your foot. Try different positions and notice how your body adjusts to stay balanced. Speed up your spin. Ever won at tetherball? Then you know how a ball on a string speeds up as the string wraps around the pole, and you only hit it once. This is because the ball has an ever shorter circle to trace, so it can go around more times, that is faster, with the same energy. Imagine walking 50 steps. You could walk once around a big circle, or 4 times around a smaller circle in the same time. Spinning ice skaters and dancers use this same idea to control their speed. A break dancer pushes off the floor in the direction she wants to turn. She can control how fast she spins by sticking out her arms and legs. Bringing them close to her body makes her smaller, and because she is making a smaller circle, she goes around faster. She slows her spin by throwing out her arms and legs. Wider, she goes slower. You try it. Have you ever spun yourself around on an office chair or piano stool? You might have noticed that you can spin faster by tucking your arms and legs in close, and slow your spin down by holding them out. Puck says to Sisyphus, too much spin. heels overhead. When a gymnast jumps into a flip, one push from his feet has to keep him in the air long enough to do a somersault before gravity brings him back down. His jump throws his body through the air like a ball, and, like a ball, he will travel in a curved path up and back to earth. Holding his arms high behind him and swinging them forward makes him flip, as the circle motion of his arm is transferred to the rest of his body. He speeds up as he tucks, and the spin pulls his legs up and over his center as elegantly as a pancake. This is shown in the illustration. You try it. You can feel your body rotate around your center of gravity by doing a rolling somersault on the floor or flipping over a jungle gym bar. You push off the ground with your legs and arms, forcing your legs over your head. You should be able to feel the moment when your weight is perfectly balanced over your head and when the balance tips forward, allowing you to finish your somersault. Even pancakes have a center of gravity. If you could watch a pancake flip in slow motion, you could see it rotates around its center just like a gymnast. Marvin says to Bot, "Now switch on your jets," as he throws them up in the air. Page 20. Navajo Fancy Dancer. Interviewed by Nancy Bo Floyd. Art by Chris Wold Dyrud. My name is Carrie. I am Navajo, born into the Bitter Water Clan. I live in Arizona on the Navajo Nation near Tuba City. This part of the reservation is called Ch'nais-Dizi, or the Place of Many Springs. While attending grade school in Tuba City, I decided to become a fancy shawl dancer. Dance is important to my people. Dance is a way of praying, healing, celebrating, and even laughing. The traditional dances were given to us by our ancestors. The oldest dances are for prayer, not for performing. Social dances like the shawl dance are for powwows and celebrating. A powwow is a big gathering that includes music and dancing. I chose to learn the shawl dance, a fancy dance. At a powwow, the drums start beating fast, and we start singing. Soon, the arena is filled with men and women, girls and boys of all ages. Everyone is wearing colorful outfits, called regalia. A fancy dancer carries a long, tasseled shawl. We spin and twirl, stepping light and fast. We circle the arena, lifting our arms and spreading our shawls open so we look like butterflies. I feel the quick beat, beat, beating of the drums. I sing the words sung by our ancestors in old languages, so few know their exact meaning, but I feel what the music is saying. Sometimes I end up crying. Most of my dance regalia is old, treasures handed down from my aunt. When she saw that I was determined to be a dancer, she gave me her shawl embroidered with turquoise flowers. The border of fringe swirls around my moccasins. She also gave me the jewelry she used when dancing. My mother made me matching dresses. My favorite was blue, the color of the desert sky, beaded with flowers. My grandmother surprised me with her old, special cedar bag. This bag holds sweet-smelling cedar offered with prayers. When I'm ready to dance, I tie her cedar bag to my waist belt. Becoming a dancer means first watching. During the day-long powwows, I sat next to the drummers. Five or six sat around a huge round drum, beating and singing the songs. As I learned the words, I watched how the dancers moved their feet, their heads, and their arms. I knew one day I would have to step out and join the circle. Would I ever be brave enough? I was. There's no test. You just step out and do it. I wore the gifts from my family and felt the ancient words in my heart. I stepped into the arena. Was I ever surprised? I loved it. The illustration is captioned, "From embroidered shawl to white buckskin moccasins, everything Carrie wears was a gift from someone in her family." putting on your dancing shoes. When your feet get tapping, time to put on your dancing shoes. But which shoes are best? That depends on what kind of dancing you want to do. Ballet. Classical ballet dancers wear special shoes to stand on their tiptoes. These shoes, called point shoes, have square toe boxes that help the dancer balance and support her toes. They are flexible to let the foot bend into a strong arch. Ballroom. Ballroom dance is like dancing at a fancy party. Dancing couples follow steps for different dances they have learned. Some are quite complicated. Their dance shoes need to slide and turn easily and look sharp. Tap. Tap dancers wear metal plates on the bottoms of their shoes. They use these to tap out fast, complicated rhythms to make their own dance music. Sisyphus says to Puck, "I dance best in red shoes." There is a photograph, labeled, "Savion Glover is famous for his tap style." Festival. The dancers inside these lion costumes wear flat shoes that are good for jumping. The shoes are often decorated to look like paws. Lion dancers traditionally perform alongside dancers who form a long dragon in Lunar New Year celebrations. At the bottom of page 22 and 23, what dancer wears these shoes? And there are 9 photographs. The answers are found on the bottom of page 25, upside down. Flamenco. Flamenco is an energetic Spanish style of dance full of quick stepping and hard stamping. The dancers' feet tap out complicated rhythms that interweave with fast guitar music. Celtic. One style of Irish dancing uses soft, light shoes for dances with lots of jumping and leaping. Other dances are done in short-heeled shoes for stamping. Mascot. Sports mascots do fancy dancing while wearing big, awkward costumes. Sometimes the costume feet strap on over ordinary sneakers, but some mascots learn to dance in huge, fuzzy feet. Powwow. Native American shawl dancers wear flexible leather boots with soft soles. Dancing boots are decorated with fancy designs. Shawl dancers flutter like butterflies, so some dancers put them on their shoes. Zia says, "I love to dance like a butterfly." Bharatanatyam. Many dancers think that the best way to dance is barefoot. South Asian ballet dancers decorate their feet but don't wear shoes. After many years of dancing, the soles of their feet get tough, but they like to feel the ground and spread their toes. Dancers on Wheels by Janine R. Adil. Annie had her first dance lesson when she was 9 years old and in third grade. The students watched her come in, and even the grown-ups looked at her. She heard people whisper, "That girl can't dance. She can't even walk." Annie knew they were wrong, and so did her teacher. They knew that dancing, just like painting or playing music, comes from the heart. Annie didn't need to move her feet. She could dance by moving her strong arms and body. Her wheelchair would become part of the dance. Every week, Annie went to her dance lesson with Miss Karen. First, Annie warmed up her muscles by stretching up and down and side to side. Then her teacher put on some music. When the music was fast, Annie loved to twirl, spinning her wheelchair in circles. When the music was slow, Annie moved her arms like a graceful swan. Annie practiced for months to get ready for a dance show. She picked out her own music and costume. When the big night finally came, Annie was nervous but excited too. When it was her turn, she gave Miss Karen a happy smile and thought proudly, "I am a dancer." Then Annie wheeled out onto the stage and began to dance. The dancer inside. Kitty Loon is someone who understands Annie's experience. She was 8 when she decided to be a dancer. By the time she was 15, Kitty was dancing with the New Orleans Civic Ballet. She studied with famous teachers and danced in well-known ballets such as Swan Lake and The Nutcracker. When she was older, Kitty moved to New York City, where she worked as an actress and a dancer. There's a photograph showing Kitty Loon dancing in a wheelchair. Kitty Loon explores new ways to dance. Marvin says there's all kinds of ways to dance. Kitty was getting ready to perform in her first Broadway show when her life changed forever. While hurrying to rehearsal, Kitty slipped on some ice. She fell down a flight of stairs and broke her back. The accident left her a paraplegic. This means she can move her arms and body, but not her legs. It also means that Kitty now uses a wheelchair to get around. At first, Kitty thought her life as a dancer was over. Then she learned something important. "The dancer inside me," she says, "didn't know or care that I was using a wheelchair. She just wanted to keep dancing." So Kitty found a way to continue what she loved. In 1994, Kitty Loon started Infinity Dance Theater. Its members are dancers with and without disabilities. They use movements from ballet, modern dance, and jazz. Like some of the other dancers, Kitty uses a special, lightweight wheelchair. When the 1996 Olympics were held in Atlanta, Georgia, Kitty was there. She performed a dance called The Dancer Within. This title is a good description of what Kitty believes. The Infinity Dancers perform all over the world. They also help dance teachers learn to work with students who have disabilities. There are many other dance companies that include both wheelchair and standing dancers. Each of them would agree with Kitty's advice when she says, "Listen to the dancer in your heart. There's always a way to dance." To learn more about mixed dance, www.infinitydance.com, www.axisdance.org, www.candoco.co.uk. There's a photograph of Kitty, captioned, "Kitty performs Touched by Fire with choreographer Allison Cook Beatty." Ask, Ask with Sage and Briar. Text by Ellen R. Braff, art by Marnie Galloway. "Hey Sage, Joan B. in California wants to know why do balloons deflate even when they don't have holes in them?" "Ah, but all balloons are full of holes. They are just too small to see." "What? I don't believe it." "If you look at latex under a very strong microscope, it looks like squiggly spaghetti. There are small pores, teeny tiny spaces between the latex strands. These openings are like tiny escape hatches." There's an illustration showing the helium atoms leaving the balloon. "Gas molecules bounce around nonstop inside the balloon. If one hits a gap, just right, ta-da, it's found a way out. Over time, enough gas escapes from these invisible openings that the balloon deflates. When I'm inflated, the spaces between my latex fibers get even bigger. Helium atoms are very tiny and escape more easily, so helium-filled balloons deflate faster than air-filled ones. Air molecules are larger than helium atoms. They have a harder time escaping, so air-filled balloons stay plump longer, though they don't float. Unlike latex balloons, foil is not porous, so I stay inflated much longer, though even foil balloons eventually lose gas through seams or leaks at the knot. Why doesn't air from the outside move into the balloon? Gas inside a balloon is at higher pressure than the air outside, so air particles push out, not in. If they can escape, gas particles naturally move from more crowded to less crowded spaces until they're about evenly spread out." There's an illustration showing the balloon just blown up with lots of helium atoms, 2 hours later with less, and 2 days later with much less. "Let's do an experiment. We can measure how long it takes to deflate." As they pop the balloon, 0.5 seconds, a new record. Ask us anything. Ask at cricketmedia.com. That completes the April edition of Ask, Science and Exploration for Curious Kids. I'm Chris Radio volunteer Ron Pariser.